Grace just leaned over and told me that somebody came up and told her that they really like to hear her dad preach. Grace is my wife, okay? Preacher pointed that out when they were singing, and it still isn't sticking, but what a blessing. Oh, we all talk about how much we learn from Brother Peacock, right? You know what I learned from him? The proper pronunciation of South Lyon is South Leon. I grew up there. Nobody up there calls it South Leon. I'm going to start something. This isn't meant towards him, but don't you kind of get aggravated with people like that are just always right all the time? And you're like, yeah, I got him on. I finally got him on one. And like, nope, you didn't. What a blessing, you guys. This has been amazing to be here this week. It has been a privilege beyond how I don't even know how to put it into words. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. It's amazing, just this music, just to watch God. They have no idea what I'm preaching on, to watch the Holy Spirit just set the whole thing up, man. Only God can do that. You're just in a place where God is this morning, and what a wonderful thing and what a scary thing all at the same time. Because if God's here, then that puts a tremendous responsibility on you and me to get out of it what we need from Him. In other words, if you leave here without getting something, if you haven't gotten something already, it ain't His fault, it's yours. And it's mine, that's for sure. Please go with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah in your Bibles, chapter number 58. Isaiah chapter number 58, by way of introduction, I'm just going to read one verse for the sake of time. Preacher said I only have 3 hours and 47 minutes and not 1 second more. That wasn't even funny after all these services, was it? But I do want to be very respectful with the time and try to get the message out that the Lord has given me. I hope and pray it comes out. And more importantly than anything, I want to please Jesus Christ. And then second to that, I do want to be a blessing and a help to somebody. I realize that there's a lot of people nowadays, a lot of people that need help. And I that song, The Well of Bethlehem there, that got me, man. I was coming apart. Because we do have a whole lot of pressure on us trying to serve God and do right. To see all these young people that are here, and I know I'm young, I realize that, but I'm old enough to have an adult kid now. To see young people wanting to be in church, wanting to serve Jesus Christ, come, we're awful hard on them, aren't we? Man, what a blessing. And the pressure that's on you nowadays, it's just unbelievable. Don't we feel it even as adults? Could you imagine being a teenager right now? I just can't. And so I respect the fact that we need help. Amen. And I want to see God do that this morning. The Bible says in verse number 11 of Isaiah 58, just read the one verse, and we'll pray and start preaching. The Bible says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not." I want to ask Brother Elliot, he doesn't realize it, but he really is one of my heroes. I'm going to ask him to pray for the preaching, but he's always saying that, you know, he can't preach. You just heard him say that, right? He doesn't like his preaching and all that. I love his preaching, and every time I hear him, I get something out of it. Amen. And on top of that, what he doesn't realize is his life preaches. Amen. He started his church when he was quite a bit older than I am already. And to see what God's done and continues to do, and when a guy has $100,000 sitting in a bank account somewhere he knows nothing about, I want him to pray for me. So... Brother, would you please pray?
Father, just thank you today, Lord, just for everything that led up to this day. Lord, it's been months in preparation for this moment. And Lord, I do pray that you'd be with Brother Reagan as he brings this message to us. Lord, thank you for this church, Lord, that's all the people in it that spent their time and effort and allowed us, and is as hospitable as they have been to us, just to let us come to be part of this. Lord, most of all, thank you for being the center of this. And Lord, we know you're here. I know you're here with us right now. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Reagan as he brings this message to us, Lord, and keep our ears open, our hearts attentive to the Word of God. And Lord, help us to walk away this morning knowing that we've been in your presence and we have been fed. Thank you for your blessings. Bless him, and we'll praise and honor you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I love Isaiah chapter 58. I got to admit to you, for many years of my life, from the time I got called to preach, this was one of the verses that always jumped out at me, is Isaiah 58 verse 1. I was pretty obsessed with it. I'm up north. You understand what that means? I don't know if you do in relation to church. You folks from the south, especially these guys from Alabama or North Carolina, to them to preach and stomp and spit a little bit while they're preaching and all that kind of stuff, that's preaching, right? Up where I'm from, they think you lost your mind when you're yelling at them. So I just was always a little more emphatic than that. I don't know how to do something like this that I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I believe what I got in front of me is the Word of God. And that means God spoke in it, and I want to hear what God has to say. And I get excited about this stuff. I can't help it. That verse latched onto me, that cry aloud, spare not. The only other one that I liked was smite with the hand and stamp with the foot. That to me was preaching. And I'll tell you, to be honest with you, my opinion has changed a little bit. I'm not saying we don't still need good old-fashioned preaching. I really don't want to listen to a guy preach if he sounds like he's giving a lecture. I'm not saying there's not a time and place to teach. I get that. But I'm saying we do still need old-fashioned preaching in our churches today. I believe it works. And what I love about your pastor is he's still an old-fashioned preacher. He's not changing how he does it or the style with which he does it to try to adapt to the culture, to meet the needs of people so that you'll come back. And look what God's doing for you. I mean, look what God's doing right next door. I mean, seemed like from what Brother Sam was saying, there's some visitors here. It's full all the time. Not this full, but they're fixing that. Praise the Lord for that. What an example God's given to us of a preacher who knows how to lift up his voice like a trumpet and show God's people their sin and the house of Israel their transgression. And we need that today just as much as ever. God's still using old school preaching, and God's not going to stop using old school preaching. And we preachers need to have some preach in our gut and lift up our voice and lift up Jesus Christ, and don't worry about their feelings. Let the Holy Spirit of God deal with them. He'll bring them back. And we need preaching.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But that verse doesn't impress me as much as verse 11 does today. Amen. The reason verse 11 impresses me is because I feel like I need God to guide me. I feel like I need it more now than I ever needed it before. To be honest with you, I feel like life's getting harder, not easier. A wise older preacher was comforting me recently, and he said, "Brother, I'm just going to tell you, it gets worse." Thanks. But listen, no matter how hard life gets, we got a guide. What I really think is neat about this passage of Scripture is that it's easy sometimes, as we as Bible believers are looking at every word and dissecting the thing, to overlook the fact that the overarching theme or point of this passage is that there is a God that wants to guide you. You've got a Father in heaven who is interested in you. He knows your name. He cares about you. He wants to give you that drink from the well. He wants to keep you going. He wants to encourage you. He wants to help you figure out the messes that you get in and get you through those things. He wants to give you the next step in your life. If God Almighty wants to help us, why are we still lacking help? We must be the problem. I mean, you heard her singing about it. You do have a lot of pressure against you in this day and age. There are principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, and it does seem to be, whether just in my head, maybe it's personal, I don't know, but it does seem to be building up with time. So don't we need a guide? Desperately need a guide. I'm glad that God Almighty not only wants to guide him, but he's telling him in this passage, in a time of drought, when the judgment of God is coming, and he's sending Isaiah the prophet to preach to them and say, listen, bad times are coming. Really bad things are going to happen. There's going to be a drought in the land. I'm telling you, God's going to judge. God's not going to back off on this thing. The danger's there. He's saying there's a God in heaven that'll guide you through all that and take care of you in the middle of all of that. And I just want to remind you of something most of you already know. Just because you're saved and serving Jesus Christ and doing right does not mean you're exempt from trouble. I believe with all my heart we're already seeing it. I also believe it's going to build up the pressure and judgment, not just of the adversary, but of God. Don't think for a minute that if an economic crisis, I mean like a real crisis, hits this nation that you're going to be exempt just because you're a Christian. We saw that happening with COVID. You know what happens to most Christians? Because you're listening to all this frilly, fluffy, fake psychology preaching. You've been told that if you then God, from Old Testament promises given to Israel, never given to you in the New Testament, your promises are spiritual. So you thought that since you tithe, the economic crisis wasn't going to hit you. Since you gave 100, God was going to give you 1,000. So you got this conception of God that is not real and it's not fair and it's not honest. And then when everything starts going crazy and haywire and problems start happening and frustrations build up, we begin to run from the one thing that can guide us through the problem. We cut ourselves off from the answer when the answer's right there all along saying, listen, I've got you. Stick with me. We'll get through this. Hey, we need a guide. If we're going to be God's servants, we've been talking about all week, we need a God that guides us. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't even know how to serve God. Pretty good at serving Mike. Pretty good at serving the flesh. Don't really know how to serve a holy God. I want to show you a couple things out of the passage, if I can, if you're going to get guidance from God. Number one, I want you to see the cry of guidance in verse number one. He says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. There's a cry of guidance, and what God is doing is he's putting a preacher there to try to give them the words of Almighty God. He's crying out to them, and like I already said, the answers are there, and God's giving us his word, and he wants to lead us through it, but oftentimes we're not even hearing because the cry of guidance is one direction. You do understand that God's speaking to you. You understand when he lets the sun rise and the sun sets, when you hear the birds sing, when you look around and see the great creation of Almighty God, he's trying to speak to every single person on the planet. You do realize that the conscience that is within you, even if you don't know Christ as your Savior, your conscience in you tells you that you're a mess and you need help. God built you that way so you'd know his voice and recognize that God Almighty is trying to deal with me. Cry of God is coming to you, but you know what our problem is? We don't cry back. We aren't seeking God like we ought to seek him. Look at verse 2, yet they seek me daily. We'll come back to that in a minute. We're not really seeking God like we ought to seek him. I mean, I got thinking about this, and man, I have a desperate need for guidance in my life. I really need help. I'm not trying to tell you that, you know, I'm this soup sandwich. And I'm saying that I'm realizing that there's responsibilities that God has put on me that I don't really understand or know how to get through them. Does that make sense? I'm thankful that God's given me some guidance. You got a man here that you hear testify over and over and over again. He's been a help and a blessing to us. He's been a blessing to us. He's helped me. He's helped me. You even hear a man that's age-wise as his peer says, that's my pastor. He's helped me. You know why he's helped us? Because we wanted help. He doesn't make it about personality. He doesn't make it about whether or not you got a big congregation. He doesn't make it about whether or not you have him come preach for you. He wants to help you. The problem is not him. The problem is people won't listen to him. The cry of help has to be reciprocated, right, parents? You can't help them if they don't want you to help them. I need help. Man, I got 4 kids. You know, you get one shot at it. You got one shot at it. And even if you do your best, it's no guarantee, right? I want to know it wasn't me. And right when you figure one out, the next one comes along, it's completely different. I've had a lot of people say to me, and the joke is a funny joke and all that, you know, man, I got to pray for you. You got 4 girls. Hey, look, I love having girls. Now, I'm not saying this to everybody, but there's those guys out there like, no boys, huh? You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. That's our. We tried. We have 4 girls because we were looking for a boy. It didn't show up. We're not like the Quiverful crowd. Quiverful for us was a boy and a girl. We're good. But I get that, you know, no boys. Listen, my father-in-law helped me with this because he had three daughters. He said, God gives girls to the men who are the man enough to handle it. He gives boys to the rest. It helps him feel better. It ain't doing much for me. Man, raising kids. I got four lives in my hands right now. My wife said, until death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge thee my faithfulness. That's what she said to me. And that woman meant it. And we celebrated 20 years back in June. I can make her miserable just being me. Or I can do my very best with some guidance that's bigger than me to be the best husband I can be. And man, I can't even look at her right now because I know I'm a work in progress. Amen. But I want to do my best. I want to do my best for my little girls. Not so little anymore, but they are to me, okay? Always will be. I need a God to guide me. God's given me a church. It doesn't even matter how big it is or isn't. I don't even care. It's more than I deserve. And with church, people come and they put their life into it. They put their finances into it. They have their kids there. We got some longevity in our church now, some solid folks. Man, you know what they're doing? They're entrusting something to me. They're saying, this is our home and you are our pastor and this is where God wants us to be. And man, what an awesome, what a scary responsibility. Hey, preacher, I need to talk to you. What would you do about, what a scary, God, I need some guidance. I need some help. I need some direction. And more, they're all hurting. It's hard to watch people you care about hurt. And then try to give them an answer from God. When half the time you need answers in your own life. Do you understand what I'm talking about this morning? We need some guidance, folks. And we got a God that wants to guide us, but we need to recognize our need for guidance and stop thinking we got it all together. Stop thinking that the answers are already there. Stop thinking that you already know it all when you haven't even heard the questions yet. Listen, we need some guidance from Almighty God to make the right decisions in our life, because life is a series of decisions and you wind up where you make decisions to be. I need help. I want guidance from God. I got a need for that guidance. You know, if you're not saved, you need guidance. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what you think you're looking for is not what you're looking for. I need help with this. I got an alcohol problem. I got a drug problem. I got a divorce problem. I got kid problem. I got financial problem. No, none of those are your problem. In 100 years, none of that stuff's going to matter at all. You know what's going to matter in 100 years? Whether or not you are guided by Almighty God to the answer for your sin problem. Whether or not you're saved, whether you're in heaven for eternity or burning in a lake of fire, that Bible still teaches it. And that all is based on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, God wants to guide you to His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to take away your sin. That's a decision we all need to make. And we can't help you if you won't accept that decision. A man come into my church a few months back. He sat back over here on my left-hand side. And he kind of, something about him jumped out at me. It was just not right. You know what I mean? I couldn't put my finger on it. I'm, you know, by no stretch of the imagination, a police officer or nothing, but he just was weird. So I'm watching him and I'm watching his dad behave strange the whole time. They get up and they walk out, and it was kind of a busy morning. I didn't get to him and got hung up. And then quite a while later, they're standing out in front of the church just off the steps on the grass. I'm thinking, great. I run out there, try to talk to him, and they're standing there. I stayed on the steps because they were real tall. There's that spirit about him. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that with some of you guys. I don't mind looking up to you, but it was that spirit about him. You know what I mean? So I stayed on the steps and I could look down at him. It was a lot of fun. I'm enjoying this too. I said, hey guys, I'm sorry I didn't catch you in time. It's fine. Glad to have you this morning. The one guy's 30-something years old and he's staring at me. His dad's maybe 60 or so. He's staring at me. How'd you hear about us? Yeah, driving by. I looked at the 30-year-old because he was staring at me. I said, you got something on your mind. What's up? He said, nothing, just the mysterious quiet type. I said, okay, if you ever want to talk, I'm here. Thanks for coming. And I walked away. We were finishing up teaching some of the classes for the Institute, 2 Corinthians, and so weird about this, man. I'd just gone through how throughout the years I'd seen the devil send some real bad spirits into the church. 2 Corinthians deals with the ministry a lot. I was just getting done finishing. I seen the guy that was in the sound booth recording for me stepped out, and he comes back in, and we wrapped up. He says, somebody's waiting for you in the parking lot, preacher. I said, okay, great. I went outside, and it was the younger guy. He gets out of his vehicle. He's walking toward me with a fifth in his hand. I said, what can I do for you, man? He said, here. I said, well, don't give me that. Very pastoral, right? Yeah. I said, don't give me that. I'm thinking his old man's hiding over there in the bushes. I'm going to snap a picture and post it on social media as soon as I grab it. See what I'm thinking? I said, what are you giving me that for? I need help. I said, you want help? Yeah. Said, go dump it out. I said, go dump it out. That's awful rough, ain't you? I said, you came to me for help. I said, dump it out. That's the first step. Go dump it out. He dumps it out. He's like, I said, go put it back in your car. Don't bring it in my church. He goes and puts it in the car. He said, can I bring my dog? Now, I love dogs. If I wasn't married and didn't have 4 girls, I would be in the woods somewhere in the mountains in a trailer with a pack of pit bulls. If they fight, they fight. You understand what I'm saying? I wouldn't even break it up. Just let the strong survive. That one stays. That one's gone. We'll get another one. That's my perfect world. He had a pit bull. I'm like, cool. I said, can I bring my dog? I said, yeah. I didn't want him leaving in the hot car. He brings his dog in. He's hammered, man. He comes up. He just walks in, falls down at the altar, and starts praying. I'm not going to get down and pray with him. You know, I'm like, maybe he'll pass out. And I'll study for a while. When he wakes up, I'll witness to him, you know. So I'm like, here, give me your dog, man. You go ahead. When you're done, come in my office. I'll be right here. So come on, man. I took his dog. Had that dog come in. He sat down in my office. He thought he was going to get a treat. Sweetest dog you ever seen in your life, man. I love that dog. Beautiful dog. Well-built pit bull. I'm petting him, rubbing his head. This guy gets up. Heard him kind of rustling out there. And that dog come out the door like that, and I had told John, who was helping me record, I said, go downstairs and get a coffee cup and get this guy some coffee in my office, and I'll talk to him when he's done. Well, John had come up and come back through there, and that dog heard John coming and cut out my office door and started going after John. John jumps in the front row and has the dog between the front row between him and the dog, and I come out behind him, and that dog jumps on the front row of the pew and is like, all right, at John. John's a big old monster. I call Little John because he's twice my size. He's backing up like that. And I said, hey! And the dog said, get down! The dog jumped down. He's cool. I said, shh, shh. He stops. He looks at me. When that boy stood up and started coming toward me, that dog came toward me. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? This is really happening. I said, get your dog on a leash. I said, you better not to the dog. Get that dog on a leash. He's kind of smirking, you know, like, he puts it on a leash, and he's hanging onto that leash. I said, now take your dog out, and we'll talk. He turns around. That dog starts lunging towards me. He's letting that dog just about get to me. I got to back up on the leash. I said, get that dog out of here now. He's like, pulls the dog to him, calms the dog down, and then he hands me the leash. Well, dog's under control right now. I fancy myself to be quite the dog man, you know what I mean? I mean, I can't get him to fetch ducks or whatever that brother was talking about. I missed all of that message. I'm sure it was very good, but I'm not a hunter. I got the message. It was a joke. I'm taking that dog. I'm trying to walk outside with that thing, and that dog jumps up while I'm walking with him. He walks with me fine halfway up the aisle, and then all of a sudden just turns around and tries to bite me again. I'm holding that thing out like that. I mean, we finally got that dog outside. I said, put your dog in the car and come back in here. He comes in, sits down. I said, I'm all like, you understand I'm kind of like jacked up by now, but I'm controlling myself. Sit down on my desk, and I fold my hands in front of me, and I lean back, and I'm like, God help me. I said, now what can I do for you? He said, you look scared. I Every button I had, this guy has pushed by now. I said, scared? He said, well, maybe not. Maybe I'm just misreading you. I said, yeah, maybe you are. What do you want? I need help, man. I said, tell me about it. He starts dumping on me all his problems. I said, you know what you need? I know exactly what you need. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He said, blankety blank you and blankety 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 blank and started cursing the Lord like you wouldn't believe. And I just was blown away. He said, you're going to show me from the Old Testament how I can get help or you ain't showing me nothing. I said, you can get up and get out of my office. He said, what? I said, you came to me for help. I didn't come to you for help. Why are you here? He said, because I feel tough love, man. I said, okay, then here's tough love. You want me to give you the message you want, but you came to me for help. It doesn't work that way. This place has been built on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's helped me. He saved my soul. And if you want what you think I got, then you got to accept the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you. Don't come into this church and think you're going to ask me to do something I can't do. I didn't yell at him. I just started preaching in the middle of that. Sorry. But I did say it like that. He didn't get saved. He left. My point of the whole thing is, by the way, he's still drunk. Why? Because he didn't really want the guidance he claimed he wanted. Right. Fix my problem. Can't do it. Your real problem is a sin issue, and you got to go to somebody that can help you with that. Amen. That applies to lost people, doesn't it? Yeah. You know who else it applies to? Yes, sir. Folks, I need Jesus Christ as much today as I ever needed him in one day in my life. If I don't have my Savior guiding me, if I don't have some help from Him, how am I going to get anywhere? Listen, God Almighty is a father to the fatherless. He's a comfort to the widow. He's a guide to those that are confused. I need Jesus Christ and I need His direction in my life. We get so spiritual sometimes we forget how badly we need Him. I told you, I'm telling you something you already know, right? Look at the second thing in your passage. Here's where it gets weird. Some of us realize we need the Lord, right? So then we begin doing those things that we think God wants us to do, right? You in church this morning? Okay, you came because you thought God wanted you to be here. You believe the Bible, you read your Bible, you pray, you witness, you do all, you give. You do those things because you think that's what God wants you to do, right? Look at verse 2. Yet they seek me daily. You seeking the Lord? Anybody see? I'm seeking the Lord, aren't you? And delight to know my ways. Man, it has been great this week. Isn't it awesome when you figure something out? Like when you're trying to do something for God, you're trying, and then all of a sudden you get that light bulb moment. Man, it is exciting to know how God works. Isn't it cool? I mean, preachers, don't you come down here and want to know what the secret sauce is? Don't you want to know how God works? So do I. And here we are passionate about those things, but there's confusion that comes in the Christian life. I'm telling you, God is not the author of confusion, and we've never seen born again, Bible-believing Christians more confused than we are today. There's confusion associated with the spiritual things. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. Now that can't apply to America, but it does apply maybe to some churches. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Man, I like it when I feel like I get a hold of God. You ever answer an altar call and feel like, man, that was great? You ever have something kind of hanging out there between you and God and you finally get it right? Do you know that feeling? You know that feeling? It's like, why did I fight that for so long? What was I scared of? It is so good to just let God have His way, to just back off finally and quit being such a stubborn fool and let God have what God wants in my life. What a wonderful thing. Everything I've ever been afraid of that I didn't want to give to God, I was so wrong. What a relief. Now watch verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Does anybody have unanswered prayers? Wherefore we afflicted our soul, now take us no knowledge. You ever feel like you're really trying to do right, and it doesn't seem to make a bit of difference to God? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. These people are seeking God, they're exercising all the spiritual graces, and they're getting nowhere. Do you realize sometimes the Christian life is very confusing? Here's what I think. Here's what I honestly think. I think a lot of times we really think we're doing right. We really think we're doing right for the right reasons. Here's how you know God knows my heart. Oh yeah, he does. The problem is I don't. I need a guide that can show me, hey, Mike, I know you don't realize it, but you're off. See, I'm not trying to beat anybody up this morning. Because we got sincere people that are really seeking God, that really want to do right and get very frustrated because, hey, I'm going through all these spiritual motions and I'm doing all the right things and it still doesn't seem to even be working out. I'm praying and asking God and God's not answering our prayers. I mean, we've had some unanswered prayers in the last couple of months in our home. We've been given these different things from the doctors that could be this, and we're like, okay, we'll pray for that. And then God keeps saying, nope, that's not the answer. You know what's really easy to do? It's really easy to not realize that God is answering prayers. But you get confused because the devil wants you to focus on all the things that aren't going your way. And before long, that confusion turns into frustration, and that frustration turns into anger, and that anger turns into bitterness. And before you know it, you're not a faithful servant anymore. God ain't guiding you at all. You're way out in left field doing your own thing. And guess what? I said it already. Life under the sun, right? You're going to have your problems, the problems you got right now. You're going to have them whether you walk with God or don't. Do you realize some people get hurt while doing right because of the decisions of sinful people that they love? Other people can make decisions that impact your life, and it is not even your fault, and that's not changing, even though you walk with Jesus Christ and love him and give him your heart and exercise all the spiritual disciplines and are faithful in church. You do everything the right way, but that doesn't mean that God is going to override the individual decisions of other people that you love. Now, you're going to deal with that problem because you live in a sin-cursed world. We're not in heaven yet. This is not the millennium. Jesus Christ is not reigning in Jerusalem yet. You're going to have those problems. The question is, are you going to let God guide you through them, or are you going to get mad at him and get frustrated, get bitter, wind up out, and give the devil the victory in your life? You know what we realize? People all over the country that have been telling us they're praying for us. I cannot tell you how much that means. We are over a year ahead in doctor's appointments. In other words, there's other people that need doctor's appointments that take over a year to get doctor's appointments we've already gotten. I mean, like getting pushed to the front of the line. I mean, I must have a very influential father. We live 20 minutes from one of the top four hospitals in the country for the particular situation we got. I must have a very powerful father. He does answer prayers. But you know what? We miss it sometimes. Because we're looking for him to answer the way we want him to answer. We're not really looking for him to guide us. And it gets confusing. You know what God has to show us? He has to show us who he is, and sometimes we are ineffective. Look at verse 4. He says, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? What he's saying is, you think serving God is supposed to be miserable. And you think because you're miserable and you're choosing to be miserable, that I'm somehow now obligated to begin listening to you. You see how wacky we get when we get religious? We think that he's always looking for a certain sacrifice, and so we're trying to give him that sacrifice, but we never learned one of the earliest lessons in the Bible that was obviously there with Cain and Abel. We're offering God what we think he wants or what we want to give him. And we're thinking that since we're doing all these things, we got him boxed in now, and you can't box God in. Life doesn't work that way. But he does desire to guide you no matter what's coming your way, no matter where you're going. God wants to help you. God is a God of love. He wants to help us. He promises he'd guide us, but there's some correction associated with that guidance. And I think this is where the vast majority of us fall apart. We don't mind the spiritual sacrifices. We don't even mind crying out, God, I need help. God, please help me. God, please guide me.
I need help, man. I'm a mess. Here's my sob story, why I'm where I'm at.
Well, hey, man, my heart's broken. I mean, if you really are serious, my heart's really broken for him. But when I find out you don't really want to know, all of a sudden I'm about to come over my desk and rip his head off for cussing at Jesus and cussing at me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I just switched from caring to not caring at all. I mean, we got to be real careful when it comes to a holy God. I want your guidance. Okay, I'll give you guidance. Didn't we say that at the beginning of the message? He wants to guide us. What a thing for God Almighty to want to guide me. To want to direct me. To want to take care of my family. To want to help my church. What a God. We don't mind crying out for guidance. We don't mind, you know, the confusion even of the spiritual disciplines. Well, it's not working out, but keep praying. Pray through. Keep praying. Keep hoping. Maybe God will. Maybe God's going to keep hoping. Keep praying. But then when God says, listen, what we need to change is the way you think. We need to stop pushing for God to change the circumstance and start asking God to correct us. All of a sudden, you lose half the crowd. Oh, well, that's why we're not guided. You know, God will break your heart. He'll allow your heart to get broken, let me put it that way. What you want more than anything in the world, God will say, mm-mm. Nope. I mean, if he did the Apostle Paul, why wouldn't he to us? No, that's a thorn you need, buddy, because I love you so much. I know what I'm going to do with you. And if I don't leave that thorn in your life, you are going to start thinking it's you. And you are going to stop seeking me. And that heart you got in you is going to get so tough and so hard and so selfish and so nasty and so arrogant, so self-righteous and so uplifted. I got to twist a thorn and leave the thorn because I love you and I want to guide you. So do we really want guidance? Or do we want him to answer our needs the way we want our needs met? See the problem? There's correction that comes from God. He tells you to stop some things. Look at it. I'm not going to belabor the point. Just mention them. You fast for strife and debate. That got issues with other people. So we're praying for God to settle our scores. You know what God's told me? More than once, God, you know I'm right. Now, this is how God talks to me. You know, he's told me about brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, this person, that person. God, you know I'm right. You know they did me wrong. God's like, I don't care. You're a God of justice. Yeah, and I showed you mercy. But God, I'm doing right and I'm serving you. That guy did me wrong and that person, that's just not fair. Life ain't fair. Well, God, will you judge him? What if I want to be nice to him in spite of the fact that it makes you look stupid? I'm serious. I had to come to grips to that in a more personal way than I can even tell you. And then I had to get to a point where I was happy for him. And then I had to get to a point where I prayed for God to bless him. Then I had to get to a point where I was happy that God would bless him. Because God doesn't really care about a lot of the things that are really important to us. But man, when you can let God change the way you think about things, guide your mind, Boy, that is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Too much strife and debate. God ain't hearing those prayers. Smite with the fist of wickedness. God ain't interested in that. He's like, this isn't making your voice heard. Did I choose a fast for you to just torture yourself and afflict your soul and be proud of how long you fast and how much you fast? To bow down your head, is that acceptable to me? To bow down your head as a bulrush, is that acceptable to me? God's like, I'm not impressed with your spiritual sacrifice. Yes, I just said that. I might have to argue with myself about that one later, you know what I mean? God's really not that impressed with our spiritual sacrifices. Have you seen his sacrifice?
Yes, sir.
But we think he's really impressed with ours? I thought when I did this, my ministry was going to grow. You know what's happened with me? When I've done stuff I thought was going to be the little trick, is going to make me a legend, my ministry went. Until I said, okay, God, something's off here. And he's like, yeah, it's you. Then we got to make a decision, me and the Holy Spirit. Am I going to go with him or am I going to fight him? See the correction? That's a scary thing. But I want you to notice God doesn't just get on you about what you got to stop. He tells you what you need to start. Look at verse 6 through 9. He says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Man, God actually cares about helping some people that need help. I wonder if we started fasting and praying for folks to get saved. The one you're praying for might not, but maybe God will give you other ones. I wonder if we really started getting burdened about the chains of sin that have some of us trapped, although we sit here in our suits looking sharp and looking spiritual and all the spiritual sacrifices, some of the strife and the debate and the envy and the jealousy and the anger and the bitterness. And some people have a good reason to be bitter. I said some people have a good reason to be bitter. I get bitter for some people. You realize what you do to other people when you act like a fool because you're thinking of yourself all the time? I get bitter for some people. My heart breaks for little kids that don't have a father. That's one thing that gets me more than anything. Boy, it gets me so bad when I see little kids that don't have a dad. When I see some single mom trying to raise her kids and get them through. Man, that rips my guts out. God cares about them people. You know, there was a light bulb moment in my ministry. I won't name them because they're still in my church and I know they wouldn't care, or she wouldn't care. I still don't want to name them. We got a single mom in our church. My wife led her to Christ. God set the whole thing up so beautifully, and I'm going to give you a quick story on it, but I can't take a bunch of time. We actually met her because I gave her boyfriend's mom a track, and they started visiting church, and she invited us over to meet with the boyfriend and mom, who's still living with his mom, the girl's baby daddy, living with his mom. Are you getting the picture yet?
Amen.
Okay. So we went over there for dinner. New people, probably need to get saved, all this kind of thing. And we're wrapping up the dinner. We're sitting on the couch, and we're like, what are we doing here? Like they were yelling at each other, fighting all kinds of stuff. And we're like, what in the world, man? This is a dead end. These people aren't interested in getting saved. She's wanting to preach at me the whole time. It was bad. Well, we were getting ready to leave, and Mama come in to drop the boy off to Daddy. If you knew the story, you wouldn't judge me. And she looked at me, Grace looked at me, and I looked at her, and we were like, oh, she's why we're here. Well, long story short, I mean, Grace wound up sitting on her couch for 4 hours drinking out of a Skull and Crossbones coffee cup. And after 4 hours, she got saved.
Amen.
She's been in our church for like 5 years now.
Amen.
She's raising two little boys. One of them, the older one's daddy, died when he was little. fell into a machine or something at work. Real horrible, tragic story. The other one's daddy's alive. The one whose daddy's died is having an easier time because he was able to give some finality to the situation and move on, but the one whose daddy's alive can't move on because he lives with his heartbreak. He rose his hand in church one time for prayer requests, and he said, "Pray for me." I'm like, "All right, bud, what do you need prayer for?" "It's Christmas. My dad's going to Colorado, and he's not coming back, and I just wanted to see my dad for Christmas." And he just started bawling and just going off. People were even getting a little uncomfortable, and I was like, "Go ahead, come on, get it out. Let's go. We'll pray for you, boy." He's a little one. He's got ADD, ADHD, ADHD plus, ADHD plus, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation. You understand what I'm saying? She is trying to be mom and dad at the same time. Talk about needing guidance from God. "What do I do?" Yeah, you figure that out. "Oh, just whip him, old school Bible whooping." "Oh, really, genius? You know so much, don't you? That crazy mother-in-law would love nothing more." "I thought I knew how to minister to people." "Yeah. I'm a counselor." "Really? Now what do you do?" That woman has fought and fought and fought and fought, and then he takes him for the weekend and undoes everything that she does in that little boy's heart. We're driving home from church. There's her car at the side of the road. And we look, we're like, "Oh no, here he goes again." He tried to jump out of the vehicle while it's still moving because he's mad at his mom. He runs off into the field over there at the elementary school, the middle school, and he's sitting in the field, and she's sitting on the curb waiting him out. We pull in. Grace goes and sits down with her, and I go out in the field. I'm not going to say his name, but I sit down next to him. We were there an hour. And I just sat next to him. "What's going on, bud?" "I'm mad." 7, maybe 8. "Yeah, why are you mad?" "Because." "You want to talk to me about it?" "No." "Okay, I'll just sit here." She's over there melting down, leaning on Grace, just bawling. You need guidance. Sometimes there's no real answer for the kid. There's no real solution for the kid. He's fatherless is what he is. It's messing his poor little heart and mind up. You see what I'm talking about? You know there's a God in heaven who's a father to the fatherless? But man, we got to get some guidance. Because we need help. We can't help people. You can't help them. I can't help them. We got a messed up culture, a messed up world, and it's heartbreaking to watch it and to see the bands of wickedness that got them so tied up, there's nothing you can do to get them out of it. Heavy burdens. Look at it, verse number 7. "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? That thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, that thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." God says, "Hey, you really want to get my guidance? You really want my attention? How about you taking care of somebody else that can't take care of themselves?" She says, "Preacher, what do I do? Grace, what do I do? I feel like not even coming to church because I'm having such a hard time getting ADD, ADHD, AD whatever to sit still." Keep bringing them to church. Said, "Listen, don't get embarrassed." "I'm so embarrassed." "Don't get embarrassed. Bring that boy to church. He's a distraction. Don't worry about it. I time my yells and my screams and my stomps, and I walk the other way. When he's acting up, I'll go over here and I'll stomp like that, and then they're all looking at me again. Like, what do we want to watch?" But keep him in church. Guess what he and his brother do now? They sit there for an hour while I preach. And they don't hardly move. That's God.
as a little kid who's getting fed the words of God, because that's such a powerful book. It's such a, you don't have to be a fancy preacher. You just got to give them what God says, because if they're looking for God, it'll do something in their soul, and God will answer a prayer that says, God, please let me help somebody else with these words that change lives and guide people through a tough world. That's what God wants, right? Now watch the conclusion. He says, if you'll change your motive, right, for what you're doing. He never said, don't fast. He never said, don't pray. He never said, don't seek me. He never said, don't delight in knowing me. He never said any of that stuff. He said, keep doing what you're doing, but let's make a little bit of a tweak as to why you're doing it and what your motive is in doing it. And if you'll make that tweak, you'll see something really special. Look at verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And we're right back to where we started. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul. He's saying, if you'll go serve other people like we've been talking about all week, if you'll go reach other people, if you'll go invest in other people, if you'll start seeking me for the right reasons with the right motives, then guess what I'll do for you? How does a preacher do what this man's done for all these years? Feeding people, and like he said, I don't know how he did that, but really, like whatever he was doing on the phone. How does he do that and keep doing it? And seems to get sweeter and better and kinder and more effective as time goes on. Amen. It's something supernatural. Amen. It's something that he does for his child who's following him. And we're all looking to him for help. How does he do it? Because God's taking care of his needs. Well, he's taking care of our needs. That's an example to the believers, right? That thing's a weird thing how it works. But when you start taking care of other people and trying to seek them and help them and be a blessing to them, God takes care of you and makes sure you can keep doing what you're doing. Look at the conclusion, if you would, please. I'm done. Look at verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Notice what thy delight is. Thou shalt delight thyself where? You mean it boils down to a personal relationship? You mean it has everything to do with my motive for seeking him is desiring him? And look what he says he does for you. Verse 12. They that shall be of thee. Anybody care about people coming behind them? We're that selfish of a generation that it doesn't matter anymore. I want people to come behind me someday. Shall build the old waste places. God's doing all this because at the beginning they were trying and could get nothing done. And God's saying, watch what I'll do. God's doing all of it. And then he says right there in that verse that they're going to call you a repairer of the breach, a restorer of the paths to dwell in. You didn't even do it. But God's given honor to you, and they're given a title to you. When you got the right person leading you the right way, then the people that are following you get the right thing. And God gives you credit you don't even deserve. Ain't that a wild thing? That's crazy to me. I'll leave you with this illustration. I told you the other day about Grandma Ferguson. Sat with her in the hospital. You know what was the craziest thing about that whole experience to me? When she prayed with me, remember I told you she's 80-something years old, pastored for 30, her husband pastored for 30 years, married for 50 years. Come to visit her, she says, let's pray. When she prayed with me, she began calling out to God for her kids. Some of them are still backslidden. She's calling out to God for her kids to get right. For my kids, for my wife. She's dying. And she's asking God for everybody else. She gets done praying. She never asked him to get me out of here. She gets done praying and she looks at me and she says, I love you, honey. I said, I love you too, Grandma Ferguson. Now listen, do what the doctors are telling you because we ain't done with you yet. She's kind of pulling the oxygen out and all that. I said, do what they're telling you. Please, they're not trying to hurt you. She said, okay, honey, I will, I will. She said, honey? I said, yeah. She said, if the Lord's ready for me, I'm ready. But if he's not, and tears started coming out of that old lady's eyes, and she said, I just want to be obedient. I want him to use my life, honey. I want to be obedient. That's why we don't get guided, because we really don't want to do whatever he tells us to or doesn't tell us to. We don't really want guidance. But if you want guidance, he'll give it to you. But remember, you choose not to be guided, you're keeping your problems, because that is life in a sinful world. And that's what's great about heaven. So take them on your own or let him guide you through them. Your choice. Pastor.